This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Tonight, Hell on Wheels. Mackenzie Schirilla kills two men and now has the gall to make diva demands from behind bars. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Mackenzie Schirilla kills two young men.
One of the two victims dies instantly. The other does not. Mackenzie Schirilla was never unconscious, at the hospital.
It's completely shattered. I can't even put into words how tragic this has been for our entire family.
They're dead, and Hell on Wheels Schirilla is alive and making diva demands from behind bars. She insists on being the queen of the jailhouse. I want you to hear Mackenzie Schirilla caught on tape.
Supposed to be 3 to 4 days.
God.
I know. But
how am I going to make this one book stretch?
You may have to read it a couple times.
I'm not reading the same book over and over and over and over again.
I don't know, Kenzie. I don't know. This super, super sucks. They should have when you come, they should be able to give you a welcome thing, but you're new. It's going to take a week to get your commissary. Here's some
A welcome basket at the big dollhouse? The women's CIY. I need to hear that again. Did she actually say she deserved a welcome basket? Wait, could you please play that again?
Supposed to be 3 to 4 days.
God.
I know. But
how am I going to make this one book stretch?
You may have to read it a couple times.
I'm not reading the same book over and over and over and over again.
I don't know, Kenzie. I don't know. This super, super sucks. They should have when you come, they should be able to give you a welcome thing, but you're new. It's going to take a week to get your commissary. Here's some
What does she think this is? Dr. Bethany Marshall? The Mandarin? The Four Seasons? The Ritz-Carlton? What does she want? A spa package when she checks into the CI Correctional Institute for killing two young, very young men? What? She's whining about having to read the same book?
I think she needs a glass of champagne to go along with her snack basket and maybe some movies to watch while she's at it. You know, Nancy, this fits the profile of sociopathy, or what we call cluster B personality. Cluster B is when you have narcissism, sociopathy, and borderline all together in one person. And this is the kind of person who would get dysregulated and smash her car at 100 miles per hour into a wall. This is the kind of person who would be self-centered, who would only think about herself. But what's interesting to me, Nancy, her mother has no moral compass. The mother says, "This sucks." What the mother needs to say is, "Sweetie, you're going to be here the rest of your life. There's no champagne. There's no welcome basket. And you're going to have to read that book again and again." I think her mother needs to give her the Bible. I think that's the book she needs to read. And she needs to stretch that one out as long as possible.
A welcome basket. Whining that she only has one book so far. But that's not all. Listen.
We need to just figure out this iPad ASAP. I'm so for real.
And my visitation is still pending for my video visits. And there's no, they're just said they'll contact me when I'm approved. So.
And get all my friends to make them too.
I did. I sent it to everybody.
I'm annoyed.
I can't make them. But yeah, this is going to suck until you can get your
It's only 3:30. How is it only 3:30? For real.
I don't know.
I did not even know it was only 3:30. I thought it was 5. It's 3:30.
Okay. The two victims are dead. They're not going to get to read a book. They're not going to get to look at an iPad. They're not going to get to check the watch to see what time it is like she is. No diva demands for them. Their families are in intense pain. The victims were very, very young at the beginning of their lives. and their only mistake was being friends with Hell on Wheels, Mackenzie Shirilla. Now, let's just have a little reality check. Joining me, Dr. Kendall Crowns. He is the chief medical examiner out of Fort Worth, Texas, never a lack of business. He is a star of a hit podcast, which I've put on loop before when I'm driving, Mayhem in the Morgue. He is the esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Dr. Kendall Crowns, before I listen to her whiny voice complaining about not having an iPad and only being given one book and enlisting all of her friends, they probably won't touch her with a 10-foot pole, to write the prison or get involved with some crusade to get her more amusements behind bars, can we talk about what happened to the two victims? How did they die?
So she drove a car at a brick wall or a concrete wall at 100 miles per hour and slammed into it basically head on, but angling it a little bit so that the passenger side hit, which is probably why she survived. So the thing is what happened to them? Well, it's kind of dependent on if they have on seatbelts or not. At that high of a speed, seatbelts and airbags will deploy, but the seatbelt can actually slip up and cause damage. It can fracture your collarbone, it can fracture ribs, it can fracture your pelvis. And if you slide enough, it can also take your head off. The rear seat passenger evidently landed on top of the front seat passenger. So they hit this wall at this high rate of speed. They're going to go forward into the dash. They're going to get massive skull fracturing. Often it's deforming where the entire skull fractures, the skin splits open, and the brain comes out. And then they're going to get multiple rib fractures, tearing of the lacerations of the lungs, the heart, and then the liver and bladder as well, spleen, kidneys. It's all that force going into your body. And then if you brace yourself at all, it will fracture your femurs, causing your legs to fold up back into your body. And it'll also shatter and sever your spine as well. So there's a myriad of injuries caused by a high-speed, head-on, blunt force injury car crash.
And yet she says, and she's caught on tape, stating, quote, "I'm annoyed." Listen.
We need to just figure out this iPad like ASAP. Like, I'm so for real.
And my visitation is still pending for my video visits. And there's no, they just said they'll contact me when I'm approved. So.
And get all my friends to make them too.
I did. I sent it to everybody.
I'm annoyed.
I can't make them. But yeah, this is going to suck until you can get your
Like, it's only 3:30. How is it only 3:30? For real.
I don't know.
I did not even know it was only 3:30. I thought it was like 5. It's 3:30.
Do they not know they're being recorded? So, not only is she demanding an iPad and complaining about the one book, claiming she's, quote, annoyed. Did you just hear what Dr. Kendall Crowns described happened to the victims? Their brain coming out of their skull, and that's what their families get to think about before they go to bed at night. When they put their head on their pillow, they think about their son with his skull cracked open, and she's annoyed. Oh, but there's more. Now she says, "I'm just so irritated." Listen.
Yeah, I'm so irritated. Like, I just need a book. Like,
so anything. Anything.
Cards, a book.
Like. Yeah. Right. Anything would be great. And you shouldn't make you guys wait that long to get your commissary if that's the case. You know, give me a pad of paper and a pen for intro, and then when I get my commissary, I'll give it back. But it is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. But it's really bad, and I'm sorry.
Yes,
it's enough
so
to make
the
person go crazy.
Yes, like, there's nothing for me to do in there. Nothing.
How about do something volunteering? How about do something, do better yourself and help other people, not hurt them, as you have already done? Evidence shows that she threatened to kill the boyfriend. At first, this was thought to be an accident, but then evidence reveals she never took her foot off the gas. She wanted to kill him, and she, whoa, And she did. That was her zooming by the way. Let's go straight out to veteran trial lawyer John Mobley, founder of the Mobley Law Firm. Mobley, did you hear? Did you hear the mom say, yeah, and you shouldn't have to wait for so long to get these things from the commissary? Bad commissary. What is wrong with these people?
Well, Nancy, you know, I've got to call it like I see it. You know, from a legal standpoint, despite this young lady's behavior.
Why do you start every explanation with, I've got to call it like I see it? Of course you're going to call it like you see it. Is somebody paying you or convincing you or threatening you to say anything other than call it like I see it? Okay, that said, going forward, Mobley, we're going to assume you're calling it like you see it. Okay, so no need to preface everything with I'm going to call it like I see it. Okay, go ahead. Not to be repetitive, but please, John, call it like you see it.
Actually, I feel kind of threatened right now, but I will say that I do believe that this young lady's attorneys and parents have done her a disservice. Just based on her history of unstable behavior, I mean, that's just documented. And when you look at her behavior while she's in the prison system, it is very clear that this young lady has undiagnosed, untreated mental health issues. And when I review the history of this case and look at the defenses that were presented in the first trial, and even looking at the claims being made by her new attorneys that are claiming ineffective assistance of counsel, I don't see anywhere her attorneys addressing her mental health issues. And I do believe, again, that this young lady's behavior is screaming that she has severe mental health issues to which she needs counseling, therapy, and probably medication.
What? She has severe what?
Mental health issues.
What? Mental health. Yes. You know what? Guess what, Mobley? Isn't it true you have a JD, a Juris Doctorate? That's a yes, no. Is that true?
That is correct.
Okay. Are you a trained mental health caregiver?
I'm a trained criminal defense attorney, and I can identify when defendants that commit conduct have mental health issues.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut your mic right there. That said, let's go to a real mental health caregiver, Dr. Bethany Marshall. Now, we just heard Mobley give his unsolicited medical opinion. And unless you got a JD, MD, I don't want to hear that coming out of your mouth, Mobley. Now, the law, yes. Dr. Bethany, a severe mental health illness, don't you think her defense lawyers, if she had a mental health defect, they would have written it on a banner and driven it up and down Fifth Avenue that she had a mental defect? But they didn't. Why didn't they? And you know they would have, because that could have been a viable defense. But there wasn't. And I know you, John Mobley, you would have tilled that earth over and over until you dug up a little rock of mental defect, and you would have heralded it up and down the courthouse halls. But they didn't, Bethany. She's got a defect, all right. It's called narcissistic histrionic, translation, drama queen.
Yes, she does, Nancy. She does not have any type of mental disorder. She looks very intact to me. She's articulate. She's manipulative. You know, when you hear her talking to her mother, she's making her mother feel sorry for her. She's drawing her mother in as a sympathetic person. But she does have, you're right, a personality disorder. As I said earlier, Cluster B, I like histrionic. That's true. Very dramatic. Histrionic is when a person has rapidly shifting emotions that appear deep in nature, but they're not deep at all. They're just designed to get attention. She wants as much attention, not just from her mother, but all of her friends. So her mother's going to pass this video link around to all of her friends. You know who it reminds me of, Nancy? Remember how Casey Anthony spoke with her mom? Remember how she whined, she pushed, she begged, she manipulated? And, you know, she wanted her mother to reach out to her boyfriend. Remember that? Trying to remember the name of the boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And the mother was just overwhelmed with the daughter, did not even know what to do with her.
John Mobley, Dr. Bethany Marshall is a renowned psychoanalyst with mental health training, unlike you or me. But you've dealt with enough defendants to know somehow it's always me, 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 me. and you hear her bossing her mom around, telling the mom what to do. Narcissistic, histrionic, those are defects, true, but they do not rise to a mental defect or insanity under the law. I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm trusting you, Mobley, because I happen to know your trial record. It's very impressive. You win a lot of cases. You make a lot of great settlements. You know the law. This does not rise to insanity.
And I want to be clear on something. And by the way, I do agree with her statement that the parents are part of the problem and they enable her with their behavior. But I want to be clear that I'm distinguishing between mental defect and disease, which would amount to a legal insanity, versus mental health issues with respect to mitigation. Okay, I do not believe that she was legally insane under any law of any state. Okay, I do not believe that. I do believe that she has mental health issues that were untreated, undiagnosed, and probably, contributed to her conduct. And I believe that if those issues are not addressed by proper evaluation, then they could not have been presented to the court for mitigation and sentencing. And she cannot, and she's not receiving treatment for it in prison. So you are correct. She will serve her prison sentence without receiving any appropriate treatment and get out, and there'll be no change.
Let me see Mobley talking. Hold on. I'm flipping through the DSM. You know what that is, because of all your mental defect defenses you've tried to put up. The Diagnostic Statistic Manual for Mental Disorders. It's now in the fifth edition, I believe. I'm looking through. Oh, I found it. Here's her picture. Spoiled brat syndrome. Yeah, there she is. They've got her picture. Spoiled brat. Ooh, I'd love you to raise that defense with me as a prosecutor. I would be so happy. I would be parading up in front of that jury with that DSM in my hand, and I'd make them read it. I'd put it up on a slide for them to have to look at and even turn the lights off so there's nowhere to look but up on the slide about what is a spoiled brat defense. You know, we saw it before with Ethan Couch, the affluenza defense. He's just so rich and affluent. He can't be held guilty because he just didn't know any better. You know what? Joel Wallman joining me, co-host and star of Surviving the Survivor. Joel Wallman, do you hear John Mobley state that she has a mental defect? Could you tell us what really happened?
Nancy, I did hear that, and I don't know John personally, but he's just the criminal defense attorneys have a job to do, and I respect that job immensely. I've been in broadcast journalism for 30 years, and I'm an observer of people, and I just see this as an absolute tsunami of dysfunction. And Nancy, I'm not saying this so you don't yell at me, but I am 100% agreeing with you. I'm the son of a psychiatrist, the son of a social worker. And to me, the diagnosis here is a spoiled brat on steroids. She just doesn't know, doesn't have the maturity level as to the seriousness and the gravity of what she committed here, what she has done here. And then you add into the mix here the ingredient that the mother and the father here are complete enablers. They are not stopping her and saying, Mackenzie, you are the one responsible for this. They are oohing and aahing her, and it is just like pouring salt in the wound. She needs a reality check because she is not getting out of prison anytime soon.
Okay, whoa, wait, stop everything. Screech, halt. Joel Wallman, star, co-host of Surviving the Survivor. Do I have this right? Did Hell on Wheels, Miss Thing, Mackenzie Shirilla, expose her breast to a jailhouse visitor?
You have that right. And this is where it's also a kind of a tornado of confusion here. Because on the one hand, you have these calls where she is bored to death in jail. I can't believe it is only 3:30. It's supposed to be 5. And on the flip side, it seems like she's having the time of her life. She's got men who are reaching out to her. She has lesbian relationships going on. I mean, the mother was asked about how do you feel, that your daughter is having these lesbian relationships in prison? And her response was, she's in her 20s. This is where the insanity is coming from. It is coming from the top down, just like in corporate America. You've got a nutty boss or a CEO, and the corporate culture is going to be odd.
Wallman, you think I care if she's gay? I don't care. All I care about are those two dead bodies. Did you not hear Dr. Kendall Crowns, Chief Medical Examiner, Tarrant County? He's seen a thing or two. Did you not hear him talk about the brains coming through the skull? I don't want to hear about she had a lesbian relationship. Don't care. You know, whatever. I care about the two dead young men. I care about their families who are sick to their stomachs every morning when they wake up, every night when they go to bed. How many tears, their pillows are wet because of Shirilla. I don't give a flying fig who she's sleeping with behind bars. I feel sorry for the partner. But the exposing of her breasts in the jailhouse to a visitor, I want to hear about that. And what can you tell me, Wallman, about 36 tickets behind bars?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of, like you said, 36 tickets, infractions in prison. One of them is having, I guess, alleged tablet sex, for lack of a better phrase. I don't know what the kids are calling it these days. But yeah, she's had
what did you just say?
Sexual relations.
Alleged tablet sex. I don't think that's what it's referred to, but just go ahead.
Yeah, so some of this is going on, and apparently she and a female partner, the female partner was seen on camera as Mackenzie Shirilla was. I believe she, you know, pleaded guilty in that particular infraction. And then she's got, you know, a 46-year-old guy who reached out to her. I'm wondering who that 46-year-old person is who's interested in a 21-year-old who's going to be spending many years behind bars. But I mean, the point I raised earlier, it's just confusing. Because on the one hand, she's whining and complaining to her mom about how bad prison life is. And then she's having, enjoyment on the flip side. So the public image that they are creating is not one of good optics. And that's really what I think the family needs to be focused on.
Hey guys, I'm hearing in my ear, we are now joined by Cheyenne Topping. This is Shirilla's girlfriend behind bars, and also Christine Russo is joining us. This is the victim, one of them, Dominic Russo's sister. She is the host of The Big Sister Unhinged podcast, and she's trying to keep the legacy of her brother's life alive. You know what, Christine? I respect that so much. I did something in another way to keep the memory of my fiancé who was murdered alive, to help other people. Because in a way, you know, it keeps me connected to him. And the thought of just forgetting about what happened is, well, I can't do that. It changed my whole life, as it has yours. When you hear her whining to the mother who totally empowers her that she can't get an iPad fast enough and she doesn't have enough amusements behind bars, exposing her breast to a visitor, she's not worried at all about Dominic or what happened.
No, that's, and I really appreciate you bringing to light and exposing her and everybody in that, you know, that has to anything to do with her. I appreciate you helping our family bring that to light and exposing them for who they are. They've done a pretty good job, I think, of exposing themselves, as you can hear what's going on. But it's I try to stay away as best as I can, you know, scrolling through social medias and stuff. I can't stand looking at her face. The whining behind prison bars, it's like she's not getting... There is no punishment, it seems. Like, yeah, she's in jail, but she seems to be having a great time in jail. And that's where it's infuriating.
Listen to Mackenzie Shirilla behind bars.
The rumor mill is strong, okay?
Damn, strong people are so sad and depressing. Like, they really have, like, nothing, like, credible.
Nothing. This is the saddest town ever.
Maybe just, like, open up my courtroom for, like, the whole city to come and just, like, live stream it all and, like, don't block anything.
Right.
That's all on the news.
Yep. That's why I was hoping this one was going to be live streamed. But it wasn't.
It was live streamed.
No, the end was, but not the whole thing. Just what the judge says was live streamed, but I was hoping the whole thing would have been.
But it wasn't.
That's okay. Who cares? They're so stupid. Dummies.
Yeah, I just can't wait for them to, like, they just have so much explaining to do. Like, there's so many, like, unanswered questions.
All these people are talking out of their ass.
They have so much explaining to do. Joining me now, in addition to Christine Russo, who is Dominic's older sister, her podcast is The Big Sister Unhinged Podcast, Cheyenne Topping, who is intimately familiar with the goings-on behind bars with Mackenzie Schirilla. The diva demands are insane, Cheyenne, and now she's complaining her entire trial was not live streamed, just the end. What is wrong with her?
Yeah, that definitely sounds like Mackenzie, because she is a person that is like very self-absorbed. So I'm not even surprised to hear that conversation coming from her and her mom, honestly.
The diva demands seemingly have no end. She's gotten 36 tickets behind bars. What is a ticket? How do you get a ticket behind bars, Cheyenne Topping?
So a ticket is like a rule infraction. So if you break one of the rules, which they give you a handbook when you come in, when you very come in, and if you break one of those, it's basically court inside a prison. So you'll go in front of the sergeant, he'll read you your ticket, which could be like an out of place, or as y'all see, she has like sex tickets. That's where you're like intimate with another inmate. So you'll go in front of the sergeant, he'll read it, and then ask you guilty or not guilty. And if you're guilty and if it's a high enough ticket, you go to the hole. If not, you get like tablet restriction or early bed, stuff like that.
You know, did she seem to care when she would be reprimanded or get a ticket, as it is called, behind bars?
When I was in there with her, she really did care about getting tickets. She did not want to get tickets because she firmly believed she was going home on her appeal. So now that all this is coming out, I'm not surprised, because she did start showing her true character, and I could tell she was going to be on a path to destruction, honestly.
More of Mackenzie Schirilla, a.k.a. Hell on Wheels, caught on tape.
I think that's why this is so popular, because it's a mystery, but it's not. It is. It's, you know what I mean?
I mean, like, can they, like, get a hypnotized person in this and, like, make me remember? Like, that's what I would like.
Yeah, I know. I know. Me too, honey.
Kendra said, also, bro, your ass has gotten so big, LMAO. Like, I watched the live stream, and when you walked in, I was like, damn, Jay said the same thing. And you look really good. Did you get that metal off your arm yet? I noticed you weren't wearing your arm thing. Also, I will make sure to actually answer your calls. Kendra, funny as fuck.
Everybody's saying you got a bumping little booty now. Everybody.
I said hashtag big girl vibes, hashtag fat booty.
Hashtag sick girl vibe, hashtag fat booty. Okay, Cheyenne Topping, you dated her behind bars for nearly a year. She's worried or bragging. She's not worried. She's bragging about her ass and how it looked on camera.
Mackenzie is just a whole nother world when it comes to the attention. Positive or negative, she loves it all. It doesn't matter what it's for. Like, she would walk around in prison and ask people, do you want my autograph? Or ask the COs, like, these guys know who I am. I'm viral.
Now we hear Mackenzie Schirilla, a.k.a. Hell on Wheels, killed two people intentionally, found guilty, talking about feeling sick to her stomach. But she's not feeling sick to her stomach because of what Dr. Kendall Crowns just told us about what happened to the victims. You know what? I'm not going to tell you. Wait for it. Listen to this.
I'm, like, sick to my stomach. Okay. I just, like, it just, like, bothered me what they said. Like, I just can't believe they would say that. Like,
I mean, the military, are you for real?
Oh, Mom, that's a lie. That's a lie.
Isn't that funny?
They were trying to say that so they can make him sound like,
hold on.
I think he said that so like the judge is like, oh, he sounds very respectable young man. And so they give me like,
I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
That literally like made my tears stop when they said that. Like my tears just got all sucked right back up.
I couldn't even believe it. Down would be beside his freaking self.
So she is sick to her stomach, nauseated about how she was portrayed, Joel Wallman, co-host and star of Surviving the Survivor. I think her priorities are bass-ackwards.
100%. You know, I'm just thinking about all this. listening to all the guests, and I literally cannot wrap my head around it. I mean, you just saw Jalen Brunson, the Knicks won, and they asked him afterwards, how do you feel? He said, I have no words. And that's kind of where I'm at right now as a journalist, because I've never seen anything like this. The only thing I can really come up with right now, and I'm afraid to say this, is Mackenzie Schirilla might be the first of many that we see like this because of social media. She is, you know, obviously the TikTok generation, and they're now becoming old enough to be incarcerated. And are all these people who are spending their entire days streaming video of themselves, are they going to be incarcerated one day and wonder, where are the live cams? Because that's what we're seeing in real time right now with Mackenzie Schirilla. She is having a tantrum that she's not getting the attention that she deserves, that she used to have on the outside when she was freely able to TikTok.
You know, another issue, John Mobley, if by some crazy chance there is a new trial, you do know that she is currently making any hope of a mental defense, mental defect defense or insanity, impossible, because there is no right to privacy behind bars. These calls are rightfully and legally recorded. I would bring in everyone and just play them on a loop for the jury.
I agree. I'm actually kind of surprised that she's making these statements while she's behind bars, because any, you know, competent attorney would tell someone not to do that, because if you are able to get a new trial, any post-trial statements you make, they're not, you know, while you're in custody, they're not made to law enforcement violation Miranda, all those statements can be used against you, either A, in the prosecution's case in chief, or B, at sentencing. And I think, you know, and quite frankly, it kind of bitter in the behind the sentence in the first case, because a lot of the social media posts she made and comments she made were used at the sentencing hearing by the prosecutors, because, and the prosecutors argued that she didn't have any remorse for her conduct, and which led to her receiving a stiffer sentence. And I think, again, she just kind of from that point digging herself in the hole deeper and deeper and deeper if she does, in fact, get a new trial.
Listen to what Schirilla's father has to say.
She has remorse. Yeah. She was upset. If you would have heard her when she found out that Dom died, if you would have heard the sound that came out of her, it would have crushed you. I know my daughter didn't do it on purpose. I know when my daughter lies. My daughter should have been charged with vehicular homicide. Two counts. In juvie court, and it should have never left. The juvenile judge took out the aggravated murder thing for the same reason I'm saying they should have never charged her. Because there's no intent. There's no prior calculation. There's no purpose. It's not there.
I actually feel bad for the dad. He is struggling with the concept of intent to commit a crime. Intent can be formed just like that, in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of a moment, in the time it takes you to pull a trigger. That's how fast intent under the law can be formed. It does not require a long thought out plan like poisoning someone over weeks and months. It can be formed in the time it takes you to pull a trigger. So with her, as was proven in court, not taking her foot off the gas. Let's see that video of her flying by. Right there. There's intent. There you go. Crashing and killing two people is time enough to form intent. Cheyenne Topping joining us, Schirilla's prison girlfriend for nearly a year. She is trying everything possible to get a new trial, and she's got both of her parents bamboozled. Does she know she's got them wrapped around her little finger?
She 100% knows that they're all on her side and going to be wrapped around her finger. She told me from in prison that they're all behind her, and even lied and told me Dom and them sister was all behind her too as well.
Straight out to Christine Russo. This is Dominic's older sister and star of the Big Sister Unhinged podcast. There is no remorse. Has she ever told you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean for this to happen?
No, she never told me she was sorry. She acted, before she was arrested, she very much acted like it was an accident. But there was a ton of lies and, you know, her trying to cover up the entire time. But there was never responsibility taken or like an actual I'm sorry whatsoever.
Back to Dr. Kendall Crowns, renowned medical examiner. When you hear all of these diva demands from behind bars, and we know an appeal is in the works. Could you, again, a reality check, give us a reality check about what the victim's cause of death were?
So their cause of deaths are blunt force injuries. All these injuries, the skull fractures, the brain avulsion, the crushing of the chest, the explosion of their heart and lungs, liver, even their intestines, all these combined together to make the cause of death blunt force injuries. It's not a dramatic cause of death, but it overlies the fact that they have all these crushing injuries, fractures of the ribs, pelvis, their legs, even their extremities, and then the crushing of the head. So cause of death is blunt force injuries. And when you listen to all her demands, you know, she just kind of sounds sad to me, but that's my opinion.
Sad. She sounds like a self-entitled, spoiled brat who cares nothing about the fact that she killed two people and threatened she would kill the boyfriend ahead of time. We wait as justice unfolds. And tonight, we remember an American hero, Patrolman David Evans, San Antonio PD, killed in the line of duty after 30 years on the force, leaving behind a wife-turned-widow, Elizabeth, and children, the three J's, Jennifer, Jeffrey, and Julie. American hero, Patrolman David Evans. Thank you for being with us. And a special thank you to our guests, Christine Russo, in particular, Dominic's sister. Nancy Gray signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night, God willing. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.